The Snow Was Dirty, written by Georges Simenon, translated by Howard Curtis, and read by Joe Jameson.
Part 1. Timo's Customers. Chapter 1. If it had not been for a chance event, what Frank Friedmeier did that night would not have been so significant. Obviously, Frank could not have foreseen that his neighbour, Gerhard Holst, would pass along the street. The fact that Holst did pass, and recognised him, changed everything. But that too, and all that was to follow from it, Frank accepted. That was why what happened that night by the tannery wall meant more, for both his present and his future, than a loss of virginity. Because that had been Frank's first thought, and it was a comparison that both amused and irritated him. His friend, Fred Cromer, admittedly Cromer was 22, had killed a man a week earlier, right there outside Timo's, where Frank himself had been a few minutes before, taking up his position against the tannery wall. Did Cromer's kill really count? Cromer had headed for the door, buttoning up his fur-lined coat with his usual self-important air, a thick cigar between his thick lips. He was glistening. Cromer always glistened. He had thick skin like the skin of some oranges, skin that seemed to ooze sweat. Someone had compared him to a young bull that can never get enough. It was certainly something sexual, you thought of, looking at his thick, glistening face, his moist eyes, his swollen lips. A thin, pale, feverish little man, the kind you saw a lot of, especially at night, had stupidly stood in his way. To look at him, you wouldn't think he had enough money to drink at Timo's. Grabbed hold of his collar and berated him. Had Cromer sold him something he wasn't pleased with? Cromer had walked on in a dignified way, puffing at his cigar. The other man, the skinny one, maybe because he was with a woman he wanted to impress, had followed him out onto the pavement and started yelling. People in Timo's street are not overly startled by yells. Patrols come that way as seldom as possible. But if any of those gentlemen had driven by, they would have been obliged to take a look. "Go home to bed," Cromer had said to the dwarf, who had a head too big for his body and a shock of bright red hair.
"Not before you've heard what I have to say."
If you listened to everything people had to say to you, you would soon be locked up. "Go home to bed." Had the red-haired man had too much to drink? Actually, he looked more like someone who takes drugs. Could it be that Cromer was his dealer and the drugs were too adulterated? It hardly mattered. There, in the middle of the street, which was dark between two banks of snow, Cromer took his cigar out of his mouth with his left hand and hit the man once with his right fist. He saw two arms and two legs literally fly up in the air like a puppet. Then the black-clad form embedded itself in the heap of snow on the edge of the pavement. The funniest part of it was that a piece of orange peel lay next to the head, something that probably would not have been found anywhere else in the city, except outside Timo's. Timo came out, without a jacket or a cap, just as he was at the bar. He felt the puppet, and his lower lip jutted out slightly.
"His number's up," he grunted. "He'll be stiff in an hour."
Did Cromer really kill the redhead with a single punch? That was what he said, and the other man would certainly not contradict him. Following the advice of Timo, who never wasted time, the body was flung into the old basin 200 metres away, the one the sewers empty into, stopping the water from freezing over. So Cromer can claim he killed a man. Even though Timo was also involved, and even though the puppet was not completely dead and had to be thrown up in the air again to get him over a low wall. The proof that Cromer does not regard it as a serious kill is that he is still telling the story of the strangled girl. Only that didn't happen in the city, or in a place the others know. There is no evidence it even happened at all. In a case like that, anybody can boast about anything.